Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hi, I'm Katherine Pearson. I'm the Discerning Childbirth Educator and Wellness Coach here at Dunamos Center Ministries. At Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other.
And Katherine, I think our mission statement is really key to our topic today.
Right? Yeah.
We really do want to see praise, honor, and glory brought to God. And we want to help people to have this deeper relationship with God and with themselves and with each other. And so the topic, I think, should really help people draw nearer to Him by the end.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun.
Yeah. It'll be exciting to go through this material.
So what we were talking about today is mindfulness meditation is been so popular out there. And I even just saw on the news last night that they were talking about, mindful mommies and, you know, all these things about mindfulness.
Wow. Is this a new concept or is this like a revamped, revisited, regurgitated?
I don't know. It's, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. But I think in a way it's part of our culture and our self-focused culture. Being a doctor of psychology, I'm out in the psych community and I'm reading a lot of materials and I'm at conferences and, you know, talking to other counselors and all that stuff. And I've been hearing this mindfulness talked about a lot. And one of the aspects of it was, it just will help us bring peace on earth kind of thing.
Wow.
You know, let's have peaceful, mindful children.
You know, we're touting a peace on earth. That seems pretty grandiose.
I know, but I have heard that used and that mindful children are caring children.
Okay.
Yet our generations are getting more and more selfish and self-focused.
That's how it feels to us anyway.
So one of my questions to myself was, is this at all related to transcendental meditation? When you said, is this a new, revamped, regurgitated thing? That was where my mind went after reading some of this material. Is this in any way just a revamping of transcendental meditation?
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, in the 1970s, transcendental meditation became this really big thing. And it was very expensive to go to their classes and seminars.
Did it have a basis in religion?
Well, you know, in America, we always try to make it look like it doesn't.
Okay.
But when we dig down to the root of it, it really does.
Okay.
And transcendental meditation really had its roots in Buddhism.
Oh, okay.
And the main core issue of it is, you know, learning how to clear your mind completely.
Okay.
Now, even back in the 1970s when I was not a born-again Christian, I thought, that's kind of a creepy idea. I'm just saying. If I empty my mind completely, then where does that leave me?
Right. I don't feel like I have ever... I mean, not that I've tried, but...
Right.
But it's hard to imagine. I feel like my brain's like always going. I don't know how you could possibly stop every thought that you have, but...
Right.
Maybe that's the challenge.
Yeah. And so if you were going to reach the high pinnacles of Buddhism, you were going to learn how to just meditate and clear your brain.
But I thought meditating was thinking about something. So how would, if you're meditating, but you're also having an...
Well, you think about your mantra or your whatever. You know, that's where you just repeat the same thing over and over and over, and that's all you have.
Okay.
Not, you know, you just try to, you just focus or meditate on the vocalization.
Okay.
But then to clear all thought other than my vocalization. So I just felt like this does not sound like a good plan. And I'll be really honest here. I saw a lot of horror movies in my teens and I thought a lot of them take possession of your brain if you aren't taking control of your own brain. Okay. So there was that.
An empty house is an open house, or
right.
Whatever spirit wants to
come in. That's kind of how I felt. Even though I didn't really know the Lord, my heart and my spirit kind of knew there was something really wrong with emptying yourself completely.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
But transcendental is different from mindfulness.
Well, mindfulness now is sort of like the antithesis of it, with its roots being in, well, if that worked or didn't work, maybe it's better if we over-focus. So it's sort of like an offshoot from this Buddhist thinking.
Okay.
And so mindfulness is trying to help people to stay in the present. You know, like when we think of PTSD and people get trapped in these cycles of thinking about the past or they feel like they're in the past, there's an element of logic to what if we could keep them present.
On the surface, the theory sounds like it might have merit.
Right. And so a lot of very top-name psychologists of our day started really looking into this. And it's really interesting because I read books by two of them, and I won't name them, but two different ones. And they both talked about going on the same type of mindfulness retreat. Now, I don't know that they went to the same place, but the exercises and the steps and the focus was all about the same. And it's things like focus on your plate at dinner time. Don't talk to anybody. Don't communicate with anybody else. But just focus on the plate. Focus on being present with your food. Focus on how the food feels lifting it off the plate. Focus on how it feels in your mouth. Be very present with your experience of eating the food.
Okay. I'm sorry. It makes me chuckle to think about that.
Right. But then again, it's a matter of, hey, on the surface it could sound really good as far as keeping people present.
Yeah.
But then they would talk about going on the walks by themselves, and you have to focus on your step and how your foot feels hitting the ground, everything around you in the present. And it just becomes so focused on you and filling yourself with more awareness of yourself that there, after reading a couple of these, and I am not kidding, if I named them, people would probably know who they were if they have any background in psychology at all. I thought, I'm feeling like something's wrong, though.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm feeling like, yes, I use elements of be present. Like, let's say I have a client in my office. We're talking about a very difficult trauma. They dissociate, like they start to disappear from the session or into the trauma. I might take their hand and make them feel my hand. You're here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Do you know who I am? To kind of pull them out of that place.
Right.
And then when they relax, we go back to talking about where they are.
So there's elements of staying focused in the present time.
That could fit mindfulness.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to put it under that definition. But to me, it was really more of just keeping them present with where they are, so that they didn't slip into a complete dissociative or traumatic place.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And now those will work as long as there's somebody there with them doing it.
Okay.
These mindfulness meditation weekends are all about you being all in your by yourself.
Right.
Okay. And that is where the kick comes in, because I thought, if I'm so isolated from other people and their experiences, and they're telling me to be very focused on what's going on in my brain and where am I, and I have no external tag mark, so to speak. Like when I'm working with a client, I'm touching them, I'm tagging them, I'm telling them you're okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying, go with the flow of where your brain is taking you, which is kind of what's happening with the mindfulness. So that's when I did a little research into, is there any bad effects? Because we always want to think when we start something, oh, there's no bad side effects. Okay.
If it brings peace on earth, it must be good.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right? And who are you to argue?
Yeah.
So we did look into it a little bit, didn't we, Catherine?
Right. Yeah. One of the articles that we read was particularly about the downsides.
Right.
Of this mindfulness meditation. And you know, some of the things in here just really struck me as, if you are entirely focused on yourself, but if you don't like yourself, or there's things in your past, or there's trauma, or whatever, then being hyper-focused on that seems really like it would bring negative effects.
Right. And one of the comments that you made was, if you go inside of yourself looking for yourself, and you meet yourself, and you don't like yourself, now what?
Yeah.
And that's what all you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this one particular article mentioned several people have that sort of reaction. They end up with panic attacks, and they end up not being able to breathe. And there's one particular account here that says, the breathing exercises leave me with pins and needles in my face. Another piece that I found interesting is that these aren't just momentary occurrences. It happens when they're doing this meditation.
Exercise and then goes away.
This is something that they live with then for years.
Right. It somehow opens up this area of the brain. When I was reading through this,
scary.
There were responses that were psychotic.
Yeah.
There were neuroses that surfaced. There was not just the breathing thing, but there was a shattering of identity that actually occurred, because we do hold ourselves together. We hold ourselves together very fragilely.
Right.
But God holds us together solidly. So if we're going inside and all we're finding is ourself, we're finding something that's very shallow and fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's shattering when these memories and things crash into it. And that's the only place I have to go.
Yeah, very disheartening and discouraging.
It is.
To say the least.
It is.
Not to mention leaving people with, like, here, right here, it says, for the next 15 years, she was treated for psychotic depression. 15 years.
Right. And all of that sounded to me like, when I read things like dissociating from self, becoming worried, that they're deepening depressions, psychotic breaks, that all sounds to me like demonic.
Right.
That somehow we've opened ourselves up to ourselves to the point that when we don't do things God's way, we only have ourselves or the enemy. And really, if you look at, I'm going to do it myself, then we're really falling into the enemy's trap.
Right. I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, the flesh is at war with the Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so if we're totally pushing the Holy Spirit out,
right,
then all we have is the flesh, which is at war with God, and that's a dark place.
Not where I want to be.
Exactly.
So now we've got either this meditation where you empty yourself completely, or this mindfulness meditation where you're focused on yourself completely, and both of those leave you susceptible to the schemes of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 2 Corinthians says we're not to be ignorant to the schemes of the enemy.
Right.
And so, you know, you might be asking yourself, what's the answer?
Right.
Are we not allowed to meditate at all? Is all meditation bad? You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So if we take a biblical point of view, we can find out the answer.
Right. And I want to point out, too, I mean, this article is pointing out a lot of different adverse effects that people saw from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it does say, well, it was about 7% reported profoundly adverse effects. And so, you know, that's not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're part of that 7%?
Yeah. There's also like 63% of people who have been studied have tried or had some experience in meditation and had tried the mindfulness, and they suffered at least one negative effect. That's
mm-hmm.
a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 7% are left with these long-term.
Profoundly, yeah.
But you're looking at 63% are having some form of a negative response while they're at these weekends, and yet it's mandatory for your job.
I know.
And things
I found
like that
really fascinating that employers would be imposing this upon employees. That seems, I don't know, that seems a little bit going too far, if you ask me.
It is going too far, but, you know, as the article was pointing out, we're living in a very stressed time, and they want a quick fix without having to fix the problem of their overstressing their employees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, Catherine, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to turn to the Bible's answer to meditation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can search Dunamos Center Ministries on Facebook. Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, you can go to @YourDunamosLife. We would certainly welcome an email from you if you have mm-hmm. any questions or comments or concerns, or do you want to chime in on this discussion, feel free to contact us. That address is DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. And there is we have a phone number.
I know, amazing telephone, huh? What old technology.
I know.
And you can't text us on it either.
That's true. You actually have to dial it. The number is 719-231-7183.
And Dunamas is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And you can also go to our website and find our books there, The Choices and Consequence, A Study of Proverbs, the new book, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me, on healing from birth trauma. And pretty soon we'll have our new edited versions of the Discerning Childbirth books coming up, too.
Yeah, so that website is dunamascenter.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I get to thinking, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, get very nervous if you even use the word meditation. Because of these Eastern foundations.
Right, where you focus on nothing or you focus on yourself.
Right, and meditation then seems to be a bad word.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of have the stereotypical picture of somebody sitting with their legs crossed and going,
yeah,
you know, with their fingers up.
And that's the transcendental piece, that
right.
Oming. But it's a biblical word.
Right? It is.
And in the Old Testament, they talk a lot about meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they talk about meditating on something in particular.
Right.
So maybe you would like to look at a couple of those scriptures.
Yeah, one in particular, Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight."
Mm-hmm.
About meditation being pleasing.
Right.
To God.
So in Psalms, they often talk also about what we're meditating on, and usually it's, hey, the Word of God, you know, just as a Christian. And so a lot of times people will say, well, what does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? If you've ever read Psalms, occasionally you're going to see that it'll state something, and then you'll see the word Selah kind of off to the side. Selah actually means stop and meditate on what you just read.
That's
kind of cool.
Good to know.
Right. And so you have someone there that talks about what to meditate on.
Yeah. So this is Psalm 119. And we know that Psalm 119 is the biggest chapter in the Bible. But in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law."
Yeah.
"I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes."
Right.
So it's talking about meditating on the, you know, the precepts of and the law of God.
Right.
Rather than yourself.
Right.
Or nothing. Or the sound of your voice.
And you know what else is very interesting too is when you were reading Psalm 19:14, it wasn't just the mind or the mouth that was involved. It was your heart.
Right.
And so when we meditate on the word, we turn our heart towards God, as well as our thoughts and our minds. And when we're talking about having deeper relationship with God and each other,
mm-hmm.
in our mission statement, that's a part of that deeper relationship, is that I read something in the Bible, and then I stop and I meditate on it. So what that might look like is I really, really think about what I just read, what it says about Jesus, what it says about me, what it says about my relationship to Jesus, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I find sometimes if you personalize a scripture, like you put your name in it so that you can really see yourself in it, it can help you to meditate more on, that's me. Now, we just talked about not focusing on yourself, but this is different.
Right. This is yourself in Christ.
Exactly.
Which is totally different than just yourself without
right.
Christ.
Right. And so when we look at that, we end up realizing that meditation in Christ has a totally different feel and a totally different look than mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is, in mindfulness meditation, your focus is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in what we call Christian devotional meditation, the focus is God, Scripture, and self. So even though we talked about who am I in it, that's who am I in the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
which we know the Bible said a couple of times that Jesus is the Word. They liken him to the Word. So it's who am I in Jesus?
Yeah.
And who am I then in God as well? So it becomes all about who Jesus is, who God is, and then who am I in relationship to that?
Right, right. That is so key.
Yeah.
And, you know, that made me think of this verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God.
Right.
You know, so it's not just about what we can do or who we are, but what is God empowering us to do, and character do we have
right
in who He says we are? And
right. And so a way to do that, when I was talking about how we could put ourselves into it and then meditate on ourselves and who we are to God, I might say, not that I, Pauline, am competent in myself to claim anything for myself, but my competence comes from God. Okay, so if I sit back and I go, wow, so me, myself, am I competent? No. Is God competent?
Yes.
If I'm in God, does that make me competent?
Yes. Because of what He's helping us to do and do through us.
Right. So now my focus is God, the scripture, and then myself in it.
Yeah.
So it shifts that. Now, meditation relational context. So there is a relational context to this, which we are talking about here. Mindfulness is self-awareness, plus whatever the therapist or group leader is putting in. Okay?
Right.
So you've got yourself, which we already know is inadequate and incompetent from the scripture we just read, outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a therapist who is incompetent and irrelevant outside of God, giving me input. So now we got two totally incompetent people trying to put something in there.
The blind leading the blind, as the cliche goes.
Yeah, exactly. But now in Christian devotional meditation, I have self-awareness. And my self-awareness is how completely incompetent I am without God. Okay, so that's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
And then my God awareness.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, God is completely competent.
Yeah.
And then any input a therapist may have might be something like, can you see how God will help you to be competent? You know, so if we take that scripture and just kind of take it apart that way, the relationship is now, I'm inadequate without Christ, without God. With God, I'm adequate. With the help of a therapist or somebody helping me to understand the word, I might understand a little bit better what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But not my incompetent mind thinking about incompetent things with input from an incompetent therapist. Okay. Sorry, but that's just really the way it is.
Right.
So then there's key attitudes. In mindfulness, the key attitude is acceptance and self-compassion.
Well, you know, if I really think about me, just me, and all the things that I've done, I don't usually...
And how really wonderful you are. Don't forget that.
Well, but see, there's the thing. I don't usually think about how wonderful I am. I usually think about all the times that I've tripped and fallen and
right.
made a fool of myself and embarrassed myself and made an idiot of myself. So if I'm focusing on that...
Right. Then you're going
to
see...
I have a hard time having compassion on myself.
I know. And, you know, the other thing with this is that acceptance. Yes, we are supposed to accept ourselves and other people. But I'm seeing now, like even on Facebook strands, somebody will make a statement, say, about this pastor's preaching, and it may not have been lined up with the word.
Okay.
The next person goes, well, it's not our place to judge.
Okay.
Okay. We are just supposed to accept everybody's journey in Christ.
Oh.
True enough.
Well...
But now, I'm not even rightfully dividing the word or letting God's word divide what somebody's saying or doing. I'm not saying whether they were right or wrong, but if I'm using the word as my measure and that's what I'm meditating on, then I have every right to comment on the fruit.
Right. I think there's a difference between somebody's, quote, journey, and I agree, everybody's at a different place. But the word is the word.
Yeah.
you can't mess with the word. I'm pretty sure it says somewhere, don't take away and don't add to it.
And it also says we're here to judge the church.
According to
the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew 7, you know, everybody wants to quote, don't judge lest ye be judged, but they forget according to the same measure with which you're judging.
Yeah.
So if you're okay being judged by the Word of God, there's no issue with you using the Word of God to judge the fruit.
Right.
So we need to stop this, oh, we just accept everybody, love, peace, and rock and roll, you know, kind of attitude that comes out of it. But the key attitude of the Christian devotional meditation is trust, confession, surrender, and grace.
Oh, I love that last word.
Yeah, I know.
Because once you go through confession and surrender, I don't know about you, Dr. Pauline, but I'm so ready for grace.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm going to be harder on myself than God ever would be.
Yeah.
Well, outside of Christ, he might be harsher, but in Christ, I'm not so worried.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, okay, so if I'm meditating on trust, confession, surrender, and grace, then what I want to do is take scriptures and use them to say, what is my position in Christ? And that's what I focus on. So, for example, if I took 2 Corinthians 2:14, which is what we've been talking about, correct? No.
No, we were in chapter 3.
Okay.
But yeah, 2 Corinthians 14 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him."
Okay, so what is the meditative point? God always causes me to triumph in Christ.
Yeah.
So sit back for a minute. Take a breath. Meditate on that. If you really believed that deep in your soul, and you sat there and said, Holy Spirit, really bring the knowledge of that into me in a way that I've never experienced before, and let me just sit with it. Let me have it in my mind that if God is triumphal, I can have triumph in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Once I meditate on that until it's down inside of my heart, remember the heart part, can anything stop me in Christ Jesus?
No.
So now it's not just something that the Bible said anymore, is it? So if I say that's the truth, and I'm going to trust the Word of God as the truth, I'm going to have confession that I've not always believed that, but I want to believe that.
Right.
Jesus, let me to surrender to believing that in you, that God will always cause me to triumph in Christ. Selah, now, you can go forward, can't you?
Yeah.
And can anything stop you?
Mm.
This is what meditation should be like.
Yeah.
That we don't just breathe through, but we stop and we get it into the core.
Right. That meditating, this is what meditating in Christ should look like.
I didn't blank my mind out.
Right.
I didn't focus on myself.
Right.
I focused on God as my triumph.
Yeah. And that is hugely powerful.
Yep.
And I believe that's what God wants for us, too, is...
Right.
For us to really know these things down deep in our heart, and because out of the heart is what flows
out of the mouth, coming out of that.
Sorry,
heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Catherine, we are going to have to wind up, and I really appreciate people listening today. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.